Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO, and you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as ELDUCHO Thrift. I'm very excited about this week's episode. I had the opportunity to interview a friend, and her name is Mackenzie. You can find Mackenzie on Instagram and YouTube under the username McThriftsy, and all of that information will be in the show notes for you. Mackenzie is a full-time Poshmark reseller living in Texas, and she's had an interesting journey into becoming a full-time reseller. I know that not everybody graduates from college thinking that they're going to go into full-time reselling, and it took her a couple years to kind of figure out that's what she wanted to do. So I won't spoil all the details. Let's get into the episode. Hi, Mackenzie. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Hi, Denali. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you on. We were just talking before we hit record about how, you know, we've only really interacted via social media. And
yes,
this is my selfish opportunity to get you on the phone early in the morning and learn everything about you. So yes. Thank you so much.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess to just jump right into it, my first question for you is how and when did you first start reselling, Mackenzie?
So I actually started thrifting. This all ties into thrifting. So
yeah.
I started thrifting at a very young age, like in elementary school. My mom started taking me to the thrift store. Initially, you know, she would buy me new clothing, but I was so picky with like the comfortability of my clothing, you know, and like, and so she would buy me new clothing and I would wear it once, she would wash it and, you know, it would shrink like just a little bit or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, mom, this is so uncomfortable now. I can't wear this again. And I think she just like kind of got frustrated with that. And she was like, okay, well, you know, the thrift store, you have pre-shrunk clothing and, you know, it's worn in, it's soft. And so, so I just basically have thrifted forever. And, you know, once you start thrifting, you really just can't shop retail. It kind of ruins it for you. because, you know, you're finding like better quality items at a lower price, you know? So, I basically just thrifted. I've always thrifted. And fast forward to college, this is like, 2012 to like 2013-ish. And I stumbled upon this $2 thrift outlet store. And it was just kind of like a game changer for me. I was like in heaven because, you know, there were just, I mean, it was just amazing. There were, it just kind of became this place, you know, some people like went to the mall or to the movies or whatever, you know, for like to have fun and relax. Well, I went to this $2 thrift store for like my fun and excitement. And it wasn't like I really needed new clothing. I had a full wardrobe. It was like the thrill of, you know, what would I find next? What could I find, you know? Mm-hmm. And so while I was shopping at this thrift store, I also was working in Nordstrom. Like I said, it's kind of ironic because, like I said, I never shopped retail. But a friend of mine posted on Facebook saying, you know, my manager has a job opening. If anyone wants to apply, I'll set you up with it or whatever. And so actually the first time that I ever stepped into Nordstrom was to apply for a job. And so I got the job, and while I was working there, I started to get like brand familiarity, and you know, I was learning about like designer stuff and higher end stuff, and you know, I was walking through the mall and seeing what was trendy, and also I was hearing, you know, firsthand from my customers what they were looking for, what they wanted to buy, and you know, what was hot basically. And so on the weekends, when I would go back to my, you know, my $2 thrift spot, I was seeing a lot of this stuff there, you know, like, I mean, maybe not like super current stuff or anything, but like a lot of overlapping brands and, you know, really cute, trendy styles. And I just, I couldn't leave a lot of it behind, you know, like I would find like, you know, an Alexander McQueen shirt or something. I mean, not every day, you know, it was, but I was going so often that I was finding, you know, quite a bit. So, and I just couldn't leave these things behind for $2. So I started bringing them home with me, and I kind of just had this corner of my bedroom, just for stuff that I couldn't leave basically. And, this corner just kind of grew and grew. Of all of these like random yet very nice, valuable things. And when I graduated college, I remember I kind of had a little chat with myself, and I was like, Mackenzie, you know, we need to kind of get our life together here. You have a degree now, and let's go ahead and start with trying to clear out this corner of your bedroom. And so I Googled easiest way to sell clothing online. I was kind of intimidated by eBay, so I didn't really want to go that route. And I stumbled on Poshmark, and I made an account. I think I listed like maybe 10 things or so from the corner. and they all sold within like 3 days or something. It like less than a week, I would say up to a week. And I was just shocked. I was so excited. I, you know, was telling everyone about it. And yeah, I kind of took that and ran with it. I kept listing, and I was working as a nanny at the time. So I didn't have too much time to devote to it. But after I kind of stumbled into reselling, I quickly kind of signed off from that job to kind of focus on that. And so yeah, that was the end of 2012. And so not, sorry, that was not 2012. That was the end of 2016.
Okay.
That I started kind of dabbling with reselling.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's more to go between 2016 and now, but
yes.
I'm gonna stop you for a second because I have some questions.
Okay.
So going back to when you were younger and shopping at thrift stores with your mom, I'm wondering, because you said that the comfortability of the clothes was really important to you.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what were you looking for back then? Like, and I totally get it, right? You know, as women, you know, sizes on everything, like a small in one brand might be like a medium or a large in another or something like that. Or, you know, some of us are tall or petite or what was your struggle?
Well, yeah. So I was a very tall child. I'm 5'8" now, and I was a very tall child. And I was also very thin. And so things just kind of fit me weird, you know, from like department stores. They seem to be like short on me, like pants. And so that definitely was a struggle, was finding like well-fitting pants, which, you know, when you go to the thrift store, there's like a million different brands and they all fit different, you know. So as opposed to just having like three different kind of house brands at a department store that like didn't work well for me, I would kind of go to the thrift store and there were all of these different brands to choose, and I could kind of find the ones that fit me best, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also,
well, and you can get a, comfort. You can get a lot more when you're at the thrift too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We would get like bags and bags. My mom loved it just as much as me. It was like our girl time.
That's so funny. Wait, as you got older though, did you ever switch it up and go to like buy sell trade stores, or were you a dedicated like thrift store person?
I was dedicated thrift store for sure. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I had my favorites, and I mean, it was like going to the mall for me, you know. Yeah. Like our thrift stores here are huge. They're like Walmart sized. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can just kind of get lost in them.
I'm like, but is it all good stuff? I'm like, a huge Walmart sized thrift store. Yeah. Sounds amazing on the surface. And then I'm like, but if it's full of faded glory.
Yeah. There's a lot of sifting. There was a lot of time that went into it. I mean, we would carve out like 4 to 5 hour blocks of like, wow. Okay, Dad, we'll be gone for the entire afternoon.
That's hilarious. Okay. So as you got older, you're in college, you discover this $2 thrift store, which sounds amazing.
Yes.
You're working at Nordstrom, learning in-demand styles, and then also brands and designers.
Yes.
You're building up this collection. So the collection of clothes that you were building up, they weren't necessarily your size.
Yes, they weren't. Yeah, they just, I mean, I also have never been anyone who's like super into designer stuff, you know, like mm-hmm. when I found the nicer stuff, I wasn't like, oh, yes, you know, I can finally wear like, you know, whatever it was. Right. So I was totally fine with just like, you know, my like, whatever brands of clothing that I was wearing, mm-hmm. like mall brands. And so, yeah, the designer stuff was just never.
Yeah. Like, so I guess I'm wondering, like, you know, you're building up this collection of stuff, but you, at the time, you didn't have a plan for it.
No, I didn't. I just I just knew that it had some type of, I knew that it was valuable, basically.
Got it. Okay.
And the thrift store switched out their inventory weekly. So, you know, I don't know like what the next stop for it was, if it was like a landfill or something, I didn't want it to just, you know, go to waste, basically. I wanted to do something with it. I had no idea what, but I knew one day
that you were going to save it. Yes. Okay. So you go onto Google and you're like, you know, how do I liquidate these items, basically?
Yes.
You find Poshmark. So you said this was 2016?
I had just graduated college. So this was like summer of 2016.
Okay. So you listed everything. It's going really well. All the items sell. I mean, are you immediately back out at the thrift at that point? Like, what was, you know, were you hooked?
I was just kind of like, I was kind of in shock that I had kind of like inadvertently set myself up for this new like side hustle, you know, like mm-hmm. I was just kind of like building all the tools without realizing it. And, So I was working as a nanny for 3 young children, which hardest job of my life, like 25 times harder than reselling. But I didn't have too much time, you know, to devote right off the bat, but mm-hmm. I did kind of like phase out of that. And then I did, you know, kick it up with thrifting after that.
Okay. And you had worked at Nordstrom for a period of time. So was that kind of, do you feel like that helped you in learning brands? Or do you feel like when you went out to the thrift stores to start thrifting again intentionally for reselling, was it not helpful?
I think, no, it definitely was super helpful working at Nordstrom. I worked in Brass Plum, which is the... Mm-hmm. teenage department. So, mm-hmm. you know, we basically just sold like Nordstrom house brands, but I would have customers that wanted me to take them, you know, throughout the store. And so, and I would just, you know, walk around like on my lunch break and kind of see what was around. And, you know, I would go into the malls. It was all fascinating to kind of see to me, like, you know, what was selling, basically. Like, I've always just kind of had an interest in like what people wanted to buy for mm-hmm. whatever reason. So yeah, so then when I went back to the thrift store, and you know, there was like a lot of overlap there as far as like the items, it was, you know, it was just, it all kind of like the stars aligned, I guess you'd say.
I like how you, I like that you said brass plum, because I feel like you're either of a certain age, which you're not, Mackenzie, sorry, or you worked at Nordstrom and you know what that department is called, because
yes.
anybody else, like yes. you have to say BP.
Uh-huh. Yes.
They don't know BP. What BP means.
Yes.
BP because oil. Like I've said it to people who, like, I have younger friends. Uh-huh. I've said like blah 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 brass plum, and they're like, what's that?
Yeah, that is like, really funny. BP. That's so true.
And it's definitely not your age demographic. Sorry. Okay. So it's 2016, you're hooked. You want to start doing this. You're working the babysitting job.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, had you graduated? You were graduated, or you yes. were graduating?
Yes, I had graduated in May, and I started dabbling in like August, I would say.
Okay.
2016.
And you went to school for psychology.
Yes, psychology.
You know, most college graduates are now thinking, okay, I'm going to go out into the real world and get some job
right.
that I just spent 4 years studying for.
Correct.
You yeah. know, okay, so we're at the end of summer here. Real life is approaching September, right? You've had 2 months off.
Right.
So what's your plan? You know?
Right. Yeah. So I think a little bit of background. My middle and high school, I went to a Vanguard mm-hmm. schools, which are, if anyone's unfamiliar, it's basically a magnet school. It's magnet in all academic subjects. So a lot of my peers were very, they had their career kind of planned out, and mm-hmm. they were, you know, working to become like a doctor or, you know, a lawyer or a dentist. And I never really kind of fit with that. It never really, that just, something felt kind of off with that for me. And so, where was I going with this? Oh yeah. So when I stumbled into reselling, it was kind of like I found myself a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like this light bulb went off, like, I love this. I love kind of the freedom that this is. But I also, you know, I had this background of kind of like this, like, white and black, and also, you know, just society in general, it kind of pushes you to have this like white and black sense of, you know, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And So when I found reselling, like I said, it was just like I kind of found myself. And so 2017, the start of 2017, I was like, okay, you know, I really kind of want to go full time with this. But I still kind of had that pressure of, no, you know, you need to figure out, like, if you're going to go to grad school, which I just kind of assumed that I was, because, you know, that's kind of what I always knew, was you need to, you know, start thinking about grad school and start kind of picking which field within psychology that you want to go into. And I think I didn't really let myself kind of fully commit to reselling in the beginning, because mm-hmm. that would imply that I was kind of closing off this more like secure job, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of held myself back for, I would say, 2017 and the years of 2017 and 2018. And I also had the factor that I lived with my inventory, which, looking back, that really kind of held me back, I think, also, because I was mentally exhausted mm-hmm. a lot of the time, and just like having it surrounding me. And so Yeah, I kind of went off on a tangent here, but
no, not a tangent.
Yeah, I kind of think sometimes about like when I feel like I went full time, which like I technically did, you know, 2017 and then 2018, but I really don't feel like I kind of like committed and was like confident in myself to be full time and to like, you know, claim myself as a reseller, as like a career, you know, until the end of last year, actually.
I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I've found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
Mentioned, you know, the pressures that people place on themselves and then kind of society as well, you know, in terms of right schooling and education and traditional paths and all of those different things. You know, I'm wondering, like, what did your friends and family kind of what did they think, or did they have an opinion on when you maybe told them, hey, I think I'm going to just do this thing all the time?
Yeah. So my parents, my whole family is like super supportive. I come from a real estate family. So like everybody in my family is in real estate. My parents actually met at a Century 21 convention. so they're all, I kind of grew up seeing my parents, you know, work for themselves, work on their own schedule. And my dad, I definitely got my kind of like entrepreneurial drive from him. So, you know, I think they kind of loved that I was making a space for myself and just kind of, they definitely supported me for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like not every parent who just sent their kids to college would like that, but that's really great. Yeah. Okay. And then, you know, I also think what you said about holding yourself back is really interesting as well, because right, you know, in 2016 you graduated and, you know, it's 2020 now, but you feel like you didn't really go full time until, did you say like a year ago?
Yeah. At the, I would say October, 2019, when I moved out and I started living separately from my inventory, that's when I really got consistent and kind of, you know, committed, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess it's going to be one of my later questions that I ask you, and maybe you can just say, Denali, I already answered that later, but I'm just wondering, like, what do you feel like, you know, you would have done differently in these past 4 years? Would it be living separately from the inventory, or like, what would have made you feel like I'm full time for 4 years ago?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't really know. I think I probably would have told myself to just kind of jump in, but at the same time, I don't know where I would be now, you know? So, I'm someone that definitely like kind of plays it safe, and I don't necessarily kind of regret being so hesitant about it. I mean, you know, obviously I wasn't like performing to the best of my ability, but I think it really was about me just kind of taking the time to kind of find myself and finding, you know, how I work best and if this was really a viable route for me, which, you know, I took my time and ultimately I figured out that yes, you know, this is 100% for me. So I think, you know, ultimately it all kind of worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. You're still doing well. So, okay. So you, you know, initially started selling on Poshmark, Where do you sell currently?
I only sell on Poshmark, actually, still.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I was setting you up for that answer, too.
I do have two closets, though, so that's a little bit exciting. Yeah. I have a men's and a women's, so.
Okay, so when did that happen? Like, when did you think to split the two up, and why split the two up?
When was that? I think that was 2018 that I started my men's closet. And that was just because I was finding, you know, again, at this $2 outlet, I was stumbling upon men's stuff that was like good. Like, I think I found an Hermes men's sweater, and I just wanted to, you know, kind of have it separate, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of wanted to separate it for whatever reason.
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, aesthetically, it kind of looks a little more appealing, and it can kind of become a hodgepodge, right? When you just have like all of this different stuff in there. You know, have you thought about selling on other platforms, or have you ever dipped your toe into other ones, but you're just like, nah, I tried it. I don't want to do it again.
So I dabbled with ThredUp Luxe for a little bit. I sent some stuff in there, and I actually did really well with that. I had my highest flip ever on ThredUp Luxe.
What was it?
I sold a Nua Tags Max Mara dress for, I think, around $550. Yeah. And that was when they had sales over $500. It was a 90% commission. So I think I made net like $450 or something. Yeah, it was awesome. And it's funny because I remember I found that dress at the thrift store, and I debated leaving it because it was kind of an older style. Mm-hmm. It was a silk dress, but it was like that organza kind of silk, you know? So it just seemed a little bit dated to me, but I'm very glad that I decided to grab it.
Yeah, that was a good buy. Okay, so I'm gonna pester you a little bit more, but you know, there's Mercari, there's eBay, yes, there's Crazy, there's Depop.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, have you ever like created an account? How far has the toe dipped?
I have created an account on Mercari, and I have browsed around. I've never listed anything, and eBay, I think I definitely. I like grapple with eBay so much. I really want to try it out. But, you know, now that I don't live with my inventory, I'm just kind of like worried about the whole like shipping, like being stressed about shipping. And also, you know, I have my YouTube. And so that does take up a lot of my time at this point, because I'm kind of devoting as much time to YouTube as I do to Poshmark these days. So I don't know if I'm really kind of in a position to add a third, you know, something.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of on that note about your YouTube, you know, when did you start that, and what was your motivation to start that?
So I started my YouTube towards the end of 2017. So that was about a year into reselling. And that was kind of just like, again, like that was the 2017 and 2018 years were just kind of me like finding myself within, you know, this job space. And I think that was just me kind of playing with the idea of, hey, would I be good at thrift hauls? Mm-hmm. And I loved watching thrift hauls on YouTube. That was like what I spent my free time doing. And so I think I just kind of wanted to see, you know, can I do this? Would it be entertaining? It was really just for fun, honestly. It was also, I just kind of wanted to show people what I was finding. You know, my parents could only get excited over so many thrift finds.
No, I feel that. Your family, your family members are just like, cool, another pair of jeans.
I just get a thumbs up now.
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay, so you said that it's kind of become this like secondary or third platform for you.
Yes.
Do you find that you have success like selling through there or pushing customers?
Yes, 100%. I have noticed a huge increase in sales. So much so that like I won't upload a YouTube video now unless I have the items listed, just because, you know, I do get a lot of comments saying like, hey, where is this stuff? You know, so yeah, definitely. It directs a huge amount of traffic to my Poshmark. So I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, that's great. You know, what advice would you give to people who are thinking about starting a YouTube channel, but they, I don't know, maybe they're scared to, or they don't know where to start?
Yeah, so I was 100% like terrified in the beginning. I wanted to do it for so long, and I kept saying, you know, one day I'll get around to it. And I remember I just said one day, Mackenzie, we need to make this happen. Like, and I just sat down, I opened my laptop, I ordered a camera, which, you know, you don't have to really order anything to start on YouTube. You can use your phone and whatever. But I did that to kind of push myself. You know, the camera came in the mail and it's like, okay, you have this, you need to just do this now. So my advice would be, you know, just go for it. Just try it out, you know, film your first video, and you know, if you don't, you can rewatch it. And if it's not your favorite, you know, refilm it. That's the beauty of it, is you can be kind of more casual about it and take your time, really. But, you know, everyone has something unique to offer. So, you know, there's so much room for everyone to, you know, be on YouTube or do whatever you want to do, because, I mean, everyone has some kind of unique information or backstory or insight into, you know, everything, really.
Yes, I agree. Okay, so switching a little bit, you know, you mentioned a couple of times about, you know, there was a period of time where you lived with your inventory, but now you have a separate space for it. So yes. Can you tell me, you know, about your workspace and how it's evolved over the past couple of years?
So I have two workspaces right now. My parents' house, the second story, is a 1,200 square foot apartment. And I'm so blessed that they have this, because, you know, everyone lives downstairs. And so this apartment, it has this very large bedroom, and that is where I store all of my inventory. It's where I ship. And it's also where I film YouTube videos. And my mom actually has a Poshmark closet. So she has her office up here as well. It's on the opposite end of the apartment. So that's really fun. We kind of hang out and work together up here. So that's kind of my primary workspace. And then I have my apartment where I live. And there I have a clothing rack with my steamer, and that's basically where I steam, photograph, measure, and list. So those are my two workspaces. And I used to live in the apartment above my above my parents' house. So yeah, that's
1,200 square feet. I'm like so jealous. That's so huge.
Honestly, I am so, so lucky. So,
okay. So in thinking about your inventory, you know, do you know how many pieces you have roughly?
I have around 500, I would say.
Okay, nice. Yeah. And do you use, like, are you on a hanging system, a bin system?
Yes. My dad actually built me this huge, like, pole slash or clothing rack slash like shelf combo, and it spans like the whole wall of this huge bedroom. So, and I hang everything there. It's an attic apartment, and so the ceilings are sloped, so that wall was like dead space anyways. So it really just kind of fits perfectly on that wall.
Wait, so it's all, so everything is hung over there?
So primarily, like, all of my tops and dresses are hung there. I do, I fold pants, jeans, shorts, and skirts in, like, a pull-out plastic container. And then shoes, I have two shoe racks, and then I do fold some stuff, on top of the shelf.
So, I'm jealous of people who have hanging systems. It just seems so nice and easy to access. Now, how do you, if you're hanging a lot of items though, like, are you doing it by like items? Do you have like hangers that are numbered?
It's color coordinated. Yeah.
Oh, so, color coordinated.
Yes. So it really doesn't take me long at all to find. And I'm super like picture oriented. So I kind of just like remember where stuff is, honestly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's pretty great because I don't have to like assign numbers to stuff and like, you know, take the extra time to do that. So
that's awesome. Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm double jealous now.
But when I grow, I probably am going to have to switch some things up because I mean, I think I might be like at my max capacity now to still kind of keep this system. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Okay. And then you said that your mom shares the space with you. So she's selling on Poshmark as well.
She is. Yes.
Oh, that's so fun. Does she have like, I'm like, does she have 500 pieces or?
So, yeah, I think she probably has right around 500. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So she's in this also, like arguably full time.
Yes. Yeah. She kind of loves it. She's thrifted with me through the years. So she mm-hmm. kind of knows as much as I do, about, you know, what's trendy and stuff. So
yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's really fun to kind of have her as like a, you know, business partner. So.
Yeah. I mean, just don't go to the thrift store with her because you're going to want all the stuff she's going to take.
Yeah. We will divide it down the middle and each week we'll take like the front of the store. And
that is so funny. See, because, you know, anybody else who takes their mom would be like, oh, here, take, oh, I found this Gucci thing. You sell this Gucci. Your mom's going to be like,
yes.
Nope.
Yes, for sure.
She's going to put it at the bottom of the cart so you don't see it till checkout.
I found nothing today, McKenzie.
That's so funny. Yeah. All right. So, you know, thinking about your business and how it's grown these past few years, you know, I'm wondering what challenges you feel like you face right now in your business. And, you know, we're recording this in November 2020. I had to think about the month. November 2020. 2020 has been a challenging year for a lot of us. So I don't know if the challenges that you face are, you know, pandemic related or mm-hmm. are just business growth challenges in general. What would it be for you?
So I would say it's not really pandemic related. I mean, I did have some challenges with that for sure. But I would say a big challenge that I face is maintaining my daily priorities, you know, keeping my volume up, listing consistently, uploading YouTube videos consistently while staying innovative at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hard to keep up with everything, like all the day-to-day stuff that goes with reselling and still have the mental energy left over to kind of think about, you know, how can I grow and what improvements might enhance my business? Like, as far as, you know, just like switching things up. And like we were talking about, you know, maybe even dabbling with other platforms and just kind of branching out. That's kind of hard for me to kind of like create space for that, I guess, because, you know, reselling really does just keep you so busy. So mm-hmm. That's definitely a challenge for me.
Do you keep like, I mean, do you have any sort of structure or schedule for yourself? Or tell me about
it. I do. So I try to work from home, like my home apartment, mm-hmm. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And that's, you know, photographing, listing, I'll draft listings and measuring, stuff like that. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, I will come over to my office. And when I'm here that, you know, I get here at 6:30 a.m. and I will work till about 4:00. And so, and it's so much nicer not living with my inventory now, you know, because mm-hmm. when I'm here, it's like, okay, you have these hours, you need to, you know, get all of this stuff done on your to-do list. And it's just really nice to kind of have like a time to be here and to work. And then, you know, when I'm at home, it's like, I'll have like 20 or 30 items at home that I have to kind of get photographed and get processed. And there's a sense of urgency there because I want to get those finished and photoed before I come back to my office so I can bring them with me and, you know, get them into my inventory and like film the haul on them. So it all kind of keeps me kind of accountable, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. You didn't say the weekends. Do you take weekends off, Mackenzie?
So,
I mean, good for you. I'm jealous again.
I do like computer stuff on the weekends. Like I definitely don't like take them off, but I'm not like 100% like, okay, these are my set hours that I need to be working. It's more like, okay, if I have 3 hours or so here and there to kind of devote to like catching up on some listings that were left over, I'll get those up. So, or I'll edit videos a lot on the weekends also.
Got it. Stuff you can do remotely without having to go into the space.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, then similarly, I guess, you know, where do you see the future of your business going? I mean, you know, you talked about having thought about other platforms, but then finding the time for it. I mean, is that something that you're thinking about for this next year, or do you have other like thoughts or ideas on deck?
Yeah. So I think I'm definitely just going to try to focus on what I have going and kind of grow that. Mm-hmm. I would love to increase my closet size to 1,000 listings. Like I said, I'm around 400 to 500 right now. So doubling that. And same with my men's closet. I would love to get some more, you know, listings going in that. And I would also like to continue growing my YouTube channel, kind of coming up with, I really want to focus this next year on coming up with a different variety of content on YouTube and just seeing, you know, how that goes, because, you know, I think that would be like valuable information. And that's kind of what I love with YouTube, is kind of giving valuable information. So just kind of branching out and seeing, trying some new stuff, like maybe thrift with me's, or maybe even more like original content. So yeah. And I also have thought about hiring someone, to kind of do more of the like tedious tasks, like, you know, seaming and measuring. So I do have some ideas going into the next year. So yeah.
You say variety of content, like for YouTube. Was I picking up on, maybe I wasn't, but was I picking up on you hinting, you know, content outside of reselling?
Oh no, within reselling. Sorry.
Okay, no, it's all like the just reselling realm.
Yes, just kind of like getting out of the like thrift haul and what sold bubble, you know, like.
Gotcha.
I recently introduced a new type of video where it's like a ship with me, which is nothing crazy, you know, but I mean, that was kind of big for me. And I was so hesitant about introducing some new content. But you know, that's like my most popular style of video now. So it kind of makes me think, you know, what else? Yeah. What else do I need to be? I thought that was maybe going to be a bad thing, that I was kind of deviating from my, cause you know, I built my channel on like thrift hauls. So I didn't know how it was going to go over, but yeah, it's been great. So
Mackenzie, they want all the content. Don't hold back. Like, wait, so you've never done like a thrift with me or anything?
No. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, they'll love that. People love those thrift with me videos.
I know. I mean, I love them personally, so I need to step it up.
You just need somebody to record for you now.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
That's part of it too. And then you have to be comfortable recording in public. Are you comfortable recording in public?
I don't know. You know, I think I feel like I wouldn't be, but then, you know, maybe I would be. I have no idea. I really need to just try it.
I know. That's one of those things. It's just like, you got to rip the bandaid off and then people can just stare at you talking to a camera in a thrift store of all places.
Yes.
Okay. And then you also said, you know, about hiring an employee. So have you ever had somebody in your business before or no?
No, I haven't.
Oh, interesting. And then having them take some of the more tedious tasks, you said, like,
yes,
would be like photographing or what are you thinking? Inventory?
I don't know if I would go as far as photographing. I'm such a like aesthetic person that even, you know, like the smallest amount of like symmetry difference, which I mean, I'm not that annoying, but I think more, I think more like steaming and measuring and, you know, maybe drafting listings and stuff. Just kind of the stuff that like takes a lot of time, but you know, it would be easier for me to kind of delegate to someone.
Yeah. Okay. So you're going to outsource the photographing and sourcing. Got it. Anybody wants to sign up for this gig? Hit up Mackenzie. She's hiring. Gotcha. Okay. No, that's exciting. I think hiring somebody is exciting. I don't know. It's definitely one way to grow your business, and it makes you, I don't know. It helps you to think outside the box because it takes one thing off your plate. You know what I mean?
For sure.
You're just like, oh my gosh, I don't. And you don't realize how much of the stuff that we do can be done by somebody else. You know what I mean? Like we think we get so used to, especially like you're talking about, you know, you've been in this job doing this by yourself since 2016, right? Yes. When you've been doing it yourself for 4 years, it's hard to imagine somebody else doing this work for you. You know,
100%,
we sometimes, we sometimes think like it can't be replicated by somebody else. But the truth is that it can.
Yes.
It's sure. not that hard.
Yeah.
And then once we get it off our plate, we're like, oh my God, why didn't I do this years ago?
Yes. Yeah.
All this time I've been wasting. No, no, you have to go through all the steps to get where we are today.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Well, you know I kind of asked you this earlier, but I'm going to ask it again. And that is, what advice would you give yourself when you were first starting out? And I know that you're starting out as kind of, you know, you said like you didn't feel like you were full time until this past year, but you know, you can speak from then, or if you want to take it back to 2016, you know, what do you think?
So I think I would probably, I would try to emphasize to myself that the real beauty of this job is that you can tailor it 100%, you know, to you as an individual and how you work best. And so I would encourage myself to, you know, try to maximize that and take full advantage of, you know, how great that can be. And, you know, take some time to figure out things like, you know, what time of day you work best, under what conditions, what environment, and, you know, use that information to then make a schedule and, you know, get structured, get organized as soon as possible. And, you know, just go for it, you know, like we were kind of talking about, just try it out and get structured and really give it a shot. And just, you know, see how it goes. And,
Yeah. You said, you know, kind of finding the right times and conditions and being in the right place that works for you. You know, I know that you mentioned you lived with your inventory for maybe longer than you wanted. So you feel like you would have, do you feel like you would have moved and got an office space sooner?
100%. Yeah. I think I told myself for a long time that, you know, it makes sense that me being with it would make me the most productive, you know, because I have accessibility to it all the time. And so, you know, clearly that I would be the most productive then, but that's not true at all, you know, and I figured that out like the day after I moved. So that was kind of a hard lesson to learn because I kept kind of like putting it off, thinking that I would kind of decline in my efficiency and productivity. But in reality, that just really was like a huge improvement for me. So yeah, I definitely would have moved sooner probably.
Yeah, I'm the same way as you. I mean, I know that there are people and probably people who are listening to this episode who love having their inventory close to them.
Yes.
I wish I was that way.
Right. Me too.
Or that I had the space because, right, you said that you're living in an apartment now.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So a lot of times what it really is we're just limited by space. I mean, if you or I had a basically essentially what your office is, right, the second story of an apartment. Yeah. If we had that on our property, then mm-hmm. we would be A-okay with having our inventory on site. But yeah, when you're limited by space, I think, and it starts to, you know, it can start to feel like a burden.
Right. Well, yeah. Like when you, you know, walk into a room and you see 500 items or mm-hmm. you see, you know, the 75 items that you bought yesterday.
Yep.
And you know that you need to start working on it, but it's just so overwhelming that you can't even find like a starting point. That's kind of where I was hitting a wall. So it's so much nicer now to just kind of like take, you know, one thrift haul home with me and get that done and then bring it back. So
No, I feel that. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on here with me, Mackenzie. This has been such a good conversation.
That was so much fun.
I feel like I could probably talk to you for like another couple hours. I mean, you can stay on the line. We can keep talking. But...
this was so much fun. I had a blast.
Me too. I feel like I know you like so much better. And
yes.
I want to come visit the apartment
that
your mom work out of. And I'm going to go shopping through all the racks.
We'll have a girls weekend.
Exactly. I'm going to go thrifting with your mom. You can stay home and list us.
Oh my gosh.
And she and I are going to film thrift with me videos.
You would love her. Y'all would love each other.
Wait, hasn't she been in some of your videos?
She has, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, I feel like I've seen your mom in some of the videos. So, okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much. So,
yeah.
I will talk with you soon, my friend.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Hey there, thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast, and there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Mackenzie for being on this week's episode of the podcast. I so enjoyed getting to spend this time with you, getting to know a bit more about you, learn more about your business, and most importantly, hear your journey into reselling. Again, you can find Mackenzie online on Instagram and YouTube under the username McThriftsy, and that information will be in the show notes for you. Well, we are in Thanksgiving week. If you're listening to this show in real time, I can't believe we are already at this point of the year. We are celebrating holidays again. I hope that wherever Thanksgiving takes you this year, you stay safe, healthy, and hopefully you get some good food to eat along the way. Hopefully you're stocking up on your inventory for the winter and Q4. So if you're doing that, keep on listing and keep on selling.